kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share with you today. I've got a title for our teaching, and we're calling our teaching today, Why We Struggle with Obedience. Why we struggle with obedience. You know, I'm so reminded of parents with young children. And sometimes they have to be picked up, particularly if you're in an area where there's a lot of traffic and a lot of cars whizzing by. And sometimes the best thing is just to pick them up and have them in your arms. And it doesn't take long, does it, where they start to struggle. And why is it they struggle? Because they don't like to be feel restricted. They want to do their own thing. They want to be free. They want to run off wherever they want to go. But of course, they fail to observe and understand that you've picked them up because there's danger around. And they don't see that. They don't see that. All they want is their own way. But as parents, you see that. Well, let's take that over to the spiritual. Let's take that over to with our Heavenly Father. He does this with us. And we kick and we struggle. And we don't like it. And sometimes God has to hold us with that grip because he sees danger. You see, God is always one step ahead of us, and thank God he is. He sees what we don't see. He's aware what we're not aware of. He observes what we're not always observing. And so we have found, haven't we, with the deeper life in the spirit that we've been taught, is that yielding, that letting go, and just yielding over to the spirit. And this, in my opinion, over 40 years of preaching, it's a lifetime's work. You never stop learning. You never stop yielding to the spirit. He's continually ever working so that we just let go. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, Why We Struggle with Obedience. Let's open up with Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, which you know very well. And I'm starting with this because it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that gives us a clue. It gives us an understanding why we are to yield over to God. Because for me to live is Christ. Not me, myself, my plans, my future, my desire, what I want to do. No, it says very clearly, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That can speak of the physical dying in the Lord, but it can also speak of a spiritual dying, the dying out to self, me, what I want to do. And that's why I'm starting with this, because we have to come to the end of self. And the end of self is when we stop struggling and we then obey. We do what the Lord wants us to do. It is still that principle that God gave Adam and Eve in the garden. That principle still runs right through mankind the moment he fell. He fell because he didn't obey. And so that principle to obey God still works in our everyday life as a Christian. So when we are born again and made a new creation, we become aware of this. We start to become sensitive in the spirit to this. When we go through our trials and testings, they are often so designed by God, allowing us to go through them, not only for our faith to believe, but to obey him. Just believing him, trusting him, having faith in him is obedience, is obeying him. That's why so often I've seen faith and obedience are really hand in hand. They actually go together. That's the strange thing about it. So it is initially coming to the end of ourselves. And this, of course, is where God works the cross in our lives. We know, don't we, from the scriptures, that we are to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. In other words, it's that death to the self-life. The self-life that very often tries to rise up and want its own way. And so the cross deals with that self-life. Because when you are hanging on the cross, there's no room for the self-life. You've sacrificed the self-life. You've surrendered it up to God. And so the only thing that can work this now is the baptism of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. And he'll do it. You know, I had a saint years and years ago and said, well, look, I've taken up the cross, but you know, how does this work? How do I actually die? You know, how does the self die on the cross? And I remember saying to them, I said, listen, you don't have to do anything about that. The Holy Spirit will do that. That's why he's come. You'll know. And it wasn't above a few weeks till that saint came back to me and said, yes, I'm beginning to understand what you're saying. You see? The Lord has come, the Holy Spirit has come to deal with the self-life. You see, what God wants out of us is a free will. He wants us to willingly yield to him and obey him. He doesn't want to force us. When he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he never forced them. He said, you better not take of the tree of life, because if you do, my, you're going to get it. You really are going to cop it. You really are. He didn't do that. He just said, everything is yours, but please don't touch that. I'm asking you not to touch that. Everything else I've created and made for you is yours. Enjoy it. Let's have fellowship. Let's enjoy one another. You know, that's how he put it. And of course, we know the very thing that he asked them not to touch, they touched, you see. And so we are faced with that principle every day as Christians. But thank God, as it says in the Gospel of John, he works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. So very much the trials that we go through are working in us so that we will obey him. And our obedience is faith. Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. It is trusting that God does not make a mistake. Whatever the situation, whatever the trial, whatever I'm going through, God never makes a mistake. He is completely, utterly sovereign. And he will not allow us to go through that trial unless it's working faith, obedience in us. And when we obey, when we yield, we bow that knee, then we have overcome that trial. We have learnt the lesson. You see? Why does God do this? Because we live in a fallen world. We are fallen beings from the standard that God intended man to live and to walk by in fellowship with him. And so through the new birth, through our salvation, we are being restored. We are being brought back to that standard. It is called perfection. That standard of perfection or being perfect. He says, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. That is not sinless perfection, but it is a perfection that is accepted before Almighty God. That is ultimately what he's working with us. And that's why I'm calling this teaching, Why We Struggle with Obedience. Now, as I opened up with this scripture, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, the Apostle Paul determined that nothing would stop him doing the will of God. That is really, in many ways, what he's saying here. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, I desire to do his will and his will only. And that is what I live for. And even if it means death, so be it. It is in Christ. That is what he determined. Wish to God more saints would settle that one with God. And then they would not have some of the major problems that they have or we have in the house of God. We all of us have to settle this one if we desire this. And generally a trial will come because we have areas within us that we still don't want to yield over yet to God. And so because there are areas that we still don't yet want to yield over to God to obey, this is why he gives those gentle nudges. Do you know that God is giving those gentle nudges right now, this moment, as we are listening to this teaching? This is the mercy and grace of God. These are the gentle nudges that he's working with us, and we all know those gentle nudges in our lives. Because you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Spirit of truth. He is now residing and living in us, and we all know those areas that he's still working with us, that we're still struggling with, that we're still having problems. You see, our Father loves us, and he's gentle, he's merciful. That's why I say there's nothing you can hide from him. We all stand naked before him. And yet we still do it sometimes. We still try and run away or we try and hide. But there's nowhere to run or hide. And the reason we do it is because we still haven't yet yielded. We're still not obeying God in some areas that he still challenges us with. Praise God. But he'll do it. We'll get there. That's why I say, keep coming, keep listening, keep in fellowship, keep with the Word of God, because that's what he wants of us. And when we are obedient to that, he will work that rest through us, both to will and do, for his good pleasure. And that's why he will, through his providential workings, he'll produce those crises, those trials in our life where we have to decide. And what is that decision? It is whether it is God putting him first or myself first. And that's why he produces these trials. That's why he's working that deliverance, because we're all being brought to a place of decision. This teaching today may bring some of the saints to a decision. And so let's hope that we make that decision for God, his way, doing it his way, you see. That's why we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we doing there? We are praying God's will. What is established in heaven will be established on earth and in my life and in his church. Otherwise, don't pray the Lord's Prayer. But many pray that prayer week after week, little realizing what they're really praying. You are praying God's will. And God's will is that the church obeys and does it his way. Oh, wow. We probably never thought of it like that, have we? You see, it's amazing how God can bring these great divine truths and things in Scripture, how he can make them become real, a reality, you see. You have to think twice before you start praying God's will. Jesus yielded to the Father's will, and thank God that he did. And he was willing to go to the cross to pay the greatest price for man that the world has ever seen. Sin. He dealt with sin at the cross. And thank God that he did, because you and I would not be here now in fellowship. But what was that displaying? His Father's will. Not my will, he said, but thy will be done. It's one thing to want it in the spirit, which we do, but it's quite a different thing to live it out each day in the flesh. Hallelujah. And that's why the apostle said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He had settled it. And you have to settle these things as disciples of Christ. If you don't, you waver. You waver between the two, between heaven and earth and heaven. And you can't do that. You can't do that. You cannot be earthly, worldly Christians. And this is the huge problem that we have in the house of God. This is why it is Laodicean. It's neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And what does God say about those that are lukewarm? He says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. In other words, it's sickening to him. It's better that you're cold. Why am I stressing all of this? Because we have a will that has been given to us by God. God is never going to force us. When we will to do God's will, we do it because it's out of a relationship. It is out of commitment. That is what love does. And if our faith is not motivated by love, then it is useless, as 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. You can say all the right things. You can do all the right things. But unless it is done out of love, and it is God's love being worked in us, it is useless. It just ends up as religious. And we've got enough of that around in the world today. We really have. So very often, that is why God is bringing us to a crossroads. You can decide to surrender your will or not. And that is what the preaching and the teaching of the gospel should ultimately do for the house of God. There is preaching and teaching for the lost, and there is preaching and teaching for those who are saved, who must be challenged in the house of God if they are to continue to walk with God. And very often we are challenged and we are brought to that spiritual crossroads where we have to decide. Because God doesn't force us. We're wanting to, we surrender our will, our life, our heart to walk in harmony and fellowship and unity and oneness with him. And I don't know about you, but that takes 24/7 in which to do that. I find very often in my everyday walk, I have a choice to make. There's a decision. And sometimes I don't always feel, Lord, I'm not ready for that yet. You know, can we leave that one till tomorrow? You know, or maybe next week would be the best. But of course, you know, that's useless. The very fact that you're aware of it, the very fact that you're being challenged, that there's a choice, that there's a decision here, means that you can't put it off. You've got to meet God now. And you know, when you make that right choice, how often have you looked back, once you've made it, you've settled it, and think, well, what was all the fuss about? Well, you know, how the enemy tried to blow this all out of proportion, and yet it wasn't as half as bad as what I thought it was going to be. How often have you experienced that? I can't be the only one. It's how the enemy tries to deceive. There's nothing like doing the will of God, because the grace of God is there. The power of God is there. His presence is there. Everything is there leading, guiding you. And that's what the enemy tries to rob us of. His fullness made perfect in weakness. And that is what the apostle wanted. That is what he saw, that is what he was experiencing, and he wanted more and more. And not only for himself, but he wanted to impart that to the believers, to the churches. He wanted them to experience. And that is what a preacher teacher does. He is imparting to the church, to the believers, what he is experiencing, that they too will experience also. And that is walking in the fullness of Almighty God. So that when you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, you know God's presence is with you to accomplish that through you. And so, what did the apostle say as he works up to that? Let's look at verse 20 of Philippians chapter 1. And verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, as now, as also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. So the apostle is showing that it's not just in confession, it's not just talking about this, it is being manifested in my body. What for? So that the world can see. That's why the Bible says, by the fruit you will know them. It's not just what you say, it's by the life that you live. It is by that example. In other words, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ manifesting to such a point that he's manifesting, yes, even into this flesh, this old clay, this soil, this dust. He's even manifesting himself in our weakness. And the church has to come back to that experience, She's a good talker. She can say all the right things, but she does not live in the power and demonstration. And the power and the demonstration is what we believe the greater works for this last day, which Joel speaks of. We've had the former rain. We now are desperate for the latter rain. And the latter rain is the power of the Spirit manifesting through the flesh of believers, through that weakness. I believe the world has had enough of just words. It now needs to see the demonstration, the power of God made manifest in flesh. That is what is crying out now in these last days. And that is where we will see the true converts. We'll see last harvest brought in before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is to happen. There is to be an end time harvest. Joel clearly reveals this. And many, many Christians are desperate for this. Many are crying out for this, for another manifestation of the power of God and how it is needed in these times that we're living. But this is the key to it. It's obedience. It is doing it God's way. It is letting go of all your plans, your organizing, what we think in the carnal mind. Let us put on the mind of Christ, that we may know what the Spirit is saying to the church in these last closing days. That's why most of our trials is walking by faith. And as I've already said, it's designed by God. It's designed to keep us committed, because we're not good at commitment in the natural. We wander off very easily. Have you noticed how children, if you go for a picnic or somewhere and you'll sit down and you know, the family or whatever it is, the next thing you find is, where's Johnny gone? Where's he gone? He was here 2 minutes ago. He was just over there. Well, he's not there now. And what you have to do, you get out, you're going to start wandering, looking, finding where, because they wander off. This is what children do. And this is what goes on in Christendom today. You've got so many Christians, they're wandering off, going elsewhere, instead of staying in the unit and the family of God. And so God looks for commitment. God is looking for this relationship, because when you have a relationship with someone, you don't wander off. That relationship that you have reveals that you too are responsible in that relationship. My efforts in that relationship makes this relationship work. That's what you do in marriage. That's what you do in family. That is what you do in the house of God, you see. And this is what God can then build upon. This is where God can manifest himself, you see. Because all of these things are breaking up in the world today. Relationships break up. Marriages break up. Nobody is committed to anything. As soon as they've lost the buzz, you know, they go elsewhere. Because they're so driven by emotions, by feelings. So many enter marriage by feelings and emotions, and that's why it doesn't work. And after a year or whatever it is, they suddenly wake up and realise the partner they've married is human. You know? We've got this Hollywood fantasy idea, this celebrity culture idea. Gosh, I mean, this celebrity culture now is epidemic. Why? Because nobody wants to face reality. And God has a way of making us face reality. And they are called the trials of our faith. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. This is what makes sons, sonship, maturity, growing up. There are too many immature Christians, sadly, in the house of God that don't want to grow up. And why don't they grow up? Because they don't want to obey. And there's the problem. There's the problem. And in the end, I find so many Christians, what they really do is they fall out with God. There's a lot of Christians who are angry with God. And it is a big, big problem in the house of God. They're angry. They try and take it out on the pastor or take it out on a brother or sister or whatever it is. But really, the root of the problem is their problem with God. They're angry. And why does this go on? Because they are not challenged from the pulpit. As I've said so many times, unless the fire falls in the pulpit, it will never fall on the people. Because God is purging the sons of Levi. And thank God he is. Because that means then you don't have to go through the great tribulation to be purged. Which many sadly will do. It's better now that our Father chastens us and deals with us now than have to be left to the Antichrist when he comes. So, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's look at two areas. The first area then, why we struggle with obedience. We struggle because God is working deliverance from the past. He's working deliverance from oppressions, things that we were once held by. He's now delivering and setting us free. And the old enemy is so good to convince you, well, you're not free. You're still like you were before you were saved. There's no changes there. Well, I wonder why he says that. He wouldn't be saying that unless he's worried. So that's the first thing I think about, or I say to him, well, you brought that up, or you reminded me of the past, because you were a bit concerned, aren't you? It gives itself away. Because I believe God dealt with everything of my life and your life at Calvary. He dealt with the whole lot. So you settle that. So you see, we know the enemy is a liar. He's a thief, a robber, a murderer. So he tries to bring and remind us of the past. But you see, sometimes we're listening too much to the past. So God's got to work that deliverance. And he will. And there's nothing like the word of God that sets you free from those areas. So there's that oppression still that he's delivering you from. Then there's areas of family. Well, we know that sin, bondage runs through the third and fourth generation of family, which he delivers us from. And he's delivered us from that at Calvary. He's broken the curse that often comes through families. You see it. You see similarities of illness. You see similarities of occult oppression. You see your mother or your father or your grandparents or whatever it is, they suffered with the same problem. You've that's been dealt with at the cross. And so these are things we are walking out in this life. Or there were involvements in the occult. A lot of our families, our forebears, were involved in the occult, which passed on to you. Praise God, he dealt with it at Calvary. But doesn't the old enemy like to try and remind you? You know, where you're not free. You're not free in that area and so forth. Well, praise God, you are, for the very fact that he's tried to bring it up to your remembrance. Settle it. Christ dealt with it at the cross. And whatever healing, deliverance you need, he will provide that. For he has come to give us wholeness in mind, body and spirit. That is the gospel message. Hallelujah. You see, we've all of us been brought out of things of the past. Drugs, smoking, you name it. We can make a whole list of it all. But praise God, he has come to set the captives free. And he's ultimately working with us so that we yield, we obey. And sometimes we're still struggling. We're still struggling. And the reason we're struggling, because we're still at times believing the devil's lie. But praise God, he's overcome, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the second area, our present everyday walk, where we aren't always putting him first, or we are ignoring the warnings, he's going to work that until you face him face to face, where there's an area he's wanting you to yield to obey. He's going to work and work until it's dropped from our heads to our hearts. You will never obey God, you will never believe God, all the while it is still mulling around in the head. Until all the while it's head knowledge. It has to be in the heart. It is from the heart you obey God. That's the difference from a robot to a human being. With all this AI that's now being established. That is the fundamental difference. And he's working that in your heart, your affections, to obey him. Isn't that wonderful how our Father works that with us, you see? Unlike what man does, what governments want us to do, force us. There's the fundamental difference. And that is why we're not to ignore the teachings. We're not to ignore the nudges. When the Holy Spirit is speaking, we mustn't ignore him. Even if it's still not in your heart yet to do it. If you know God is challenging you, then say something like this. Father, you're challenging me. But I know, and you know above all, and the enemy knows, this yet isn't in my heart as it should be. Therefore, I'm not in faith as I should be. But Lord, please do not give up on me. Please continue to work with me. Whatever this takes, that this will be in my heart, that I will yield to you, I will obey you, because it's what I want. It's what I've settled for as a disciple. And I say that to you now in Jesus' name. I'll tell you something. God won't ignore that. That wasn't rocket science, was it? You didn't have to have a theological degree in which to say something like that. That is what our Father wants to hear from us. If we say it from the heart. And he'll work it. He'll work it. Because he sees it is important. If you don't obey him in what he's showing, It could be as serious to the fact that you may not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that is the fear of God, and that is wisdom, and that is good. So we need to listen to him and not ignore what he's saying. You see, whatever my experience today is, I may get closer to him. And that's all I live for. That is all I want. Whatever my experience, whatever my trial, whatever I'm facing, all I want out of this is that I may get closer to him and that he will use that. Let's end with two scriptures you know very well. Let's turn to Jeremiah first. Jeremiah 29 and verses 12 to 14. Jeremiah 29 verses 12 to 14. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place in which I cause you to be carried away captive. Now, of course, we know that God is going to do that initially with Israel. She will finally come back, and he's going to use the Antichrist in which to bring that true repentance to her. But we also see that that is for us as well. And he says, if you seek me with all your heart, then you will find me. I will answer. There's the promise. Let's take it over to the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 8, which you all know very well. Let's just remind ourselves again, James chapter 4 and verse 8. And he said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You have to be lifted up by the power of God. You can only obey God by the power of God, and you have to do it his way. Hallelujah. So there we are. This has just highlighted, I believe, today some of the areas why we struggle with obedience. The Apostle Paul, he wrestled with exactly the same. The early Christians, they wrestled with exactly the same. Even our Lord himself, he wrestled. And through his trials, he learnt obedience to the cross. And we too go through exactly the same. But the good news is, our Heavenly Father has this under complete control, and he has made no mistake in saving you. Father, again we thank you today for our fellowship, our time with you and each other. Father, we thank you for helping and encouraging us. We thank you, Lord, that you speak life into our heart and spirit. Lord, we've heard what you're saying today. And Lord, we desire to do your will. We desire to obey, to yield. But Lord, we know we cannot do it unless it is in our hearts. And Father, that is why you allow us to go through these trials and tribulations in which to work it into our hearts. And Lord, we want to thank you for this. And this is why we count it all joy when we go through much trial and tribulation, because this is the way we make it into the kingdom.
means of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.